The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. And believe it or not, today is the 10th day of February 2017. And go out to motivationmuscle.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in our 30-day ebook also. Two ebooks to make you think, first off, and next to take action, and they're free. Just leave your email address and away you go. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Today we have a good friend coming on today that we have not had on here in about a year. Due a couple times things got canceled, and that was on my end, and I've just been running around with my butt on fire. But I finally got Melody Schoenfeld nailed down, and we're going to bring her in shortly. And I'm very happy about getting her on because, you know, everyone knows that we have an awful lot of strong women on here. But Melody was at the top. I think she was in the first three women that I brought on here, and I have a little bit more loyalty to her from being here in the beginning, and we're glad to have her back. But before I bring her in, also, don't forget, we are the alpha male of radio, and I'm going to give you a little information on Melody, and then we're going to get right into some topics because I want to get caught up with her. Number one, she is an entrepreneur, a power lifter, strong woman, bender, and a metal singer. And if you've seen her out there, I don't know now. She's going to have to correct me. I don't know if she's in three bands or two bands right now. But today we're gonna catch up with her. I really want to do her perspective on how she defines strength. If you've seen her out there, she can bend anything. And I love to watch her tear phone books. And this is what I dig about this type of lifting style. It's just very, very inspiring to people. And Melody hasn't been on here in a while, but I will tell her before we bring her in, and everybody else out there who doesn't know, you would not believe the stuff I get through Facebook, texts, email. We are doing some marvelous things for people, and I'm so glad they're in our family, and that's the idea of all this. Offer solutions, help one another, keep spreading this stuff we love. Our good friend Bill Hinburn, I always got this from, you know, physical culture, but whatever you want to call it, let's keep doing it. It's very important, especially for the younger kids now. There's a lot of kids in trouble, and I feel an obligation, and you're going to see down the road what we are going to be providing for them. Melody, I know that was long-winded, but welcome back.
Thanks.
You are welcome. Anything, I know Evil Monkey and all that, but I want you to give out, you know, your website for your business, anything I missed on your bio, and then let's get caught up on you, please.
Okay. I own a small personal training studio in Pasadena. It's like a little 750 square foot place that I designed myself. And the website for that part of my world is flawlessfitness.com.
Okay.
And then I do have an equipment manufacturing company. We make like globe dumbbells and fillable maces and all kinds of stuff like that. And that one's called Evil Monkey, and it's spelled M-U-N-K-Y. So it's Evil M-U-N-K-Y-E-N-T.com. So evilmonkeyenterprises.com. And then... And I'm in some bands. Yeah, you appreciate it. I'm in an Iron Maiden tribute.
Yep.
Called Ed Force One. And that's maidentribute.com. And I'm also in a new band since I last spoke to you called Madonica.
Yep,
and,
I saw that.
Yeah, we're a heavy metal tribute to Madonna. It's very, very fun.
Yeah, because you know what? I saw you one time, and I don't remember what song it was, but she did a Pantera cover. And I was like, what? And I was like, Madonna doing Pantera, and I think it was something off I want to say it was Walk off Vulgar, but I don't remember off the top of my head. But I thought of you when I saw that because of, you know, you doing the tribute to her, obviously, of metal.
Well, she's been getting real metal lately. I mean, she's all into the, like, leather and spikes these days.
Yeah. You know something, too? I've seen her... I don't know, because I don't know her, obviously, and I've never, you know, gone to any of her shows or anything, but I gotta believe something's going on facially with her, because she doesn't seem to have any lines in her skin anymore, and her eyes look awful tight, and I saw her, I said, man, she looks like she's about 25 years younger, because I gotta believe at this point, wouldn't she probably be in her mid-50s now?
She's in her late 50s.
Oh, she's in her late 50s. Okay. All right.
I don't think she's had any work done.
You don't? Huh? Boy, she looks good.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable. But that's a good thing. Hey, take care of yourself, and you'll live a long time. You got anything else?
I just did a metal duet with my friend. My friend has a band called Three Ring.
Yep.
That, if you like power metal, you need to check that out. Threering. Okay. You can find them on Amazon Streaming or on Apple Music.
Yep.
And we just did a duet that's coming out on Amazon Streaming and Apple Music on the 17th.
Okay.
And it came out really cool. I'm pretty excited about it.
Can you? I hope I didn't miss it. Can you tell us what you covered, or was this a new song?
No, it's an original. It's not a cover.
Oh wow! Uh-huh. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good, good, good. I like it. And it's power metal, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna find that. And do you think you'll put that out on Facebook once it's released or not?
Yeah, I already put out that, because there's a YouTube link to it, so I already put out that.
Okay. Okay.
It comes out on streaming on the 17th.
Okay, I'll check that out. That's cool. Well, if you've got everything, we'll get started.
Let's do it.
Okay. Catch us up. Obviously, I know you talked about you. Now you've written some original music. What's going on in the lifting world with you in the last year we haven't talked about?
Well, nothing new really. I've just been kind of really working on the bending. Oh, this year is I want to tear some license plates this year.
Awesome, Bill Pearl style, huh?
Yeah. So that's my next attempt.
Okay.
It's going to be that, and hopefully by the end of the year I'm going to have a wrench bent too. So.
Wow.
So I'm working towards that.
Very good.
And
nice.
Other than that, you know, I've been struggling a lot with the stone lifts, because I'm 105 pounds and I'm very small. I'm 5 feet tall.
Yep.
So I can't get my hands around anything bigger than 120 pounds.
Okay.
So I can get that 120 pound stone up, no problem. But the 150, I can't get it just slips right out. And, you know, I can't do the overhand grip with it because it slips out even more. And I don't have any belly on me, so I can't really use that.
So, I don't want to be ignorant here. We're talking Atlas stones, correct?
Talking stones, yeah.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion?
Of course.
I know it's a little bit different, but we've been doing an awful lot of practice here for a long, long time. And I'm training a gentleman here right now that has to lose 71 pounds. He's 271. He's really in trouble. He's been here before, but he was told he better lose it or he's going to have some serious issues. We got to get him down to 200 by June. I didn't want to start him this quick. I've been doing a lot of rack work with him, obviously. Body weight, et cetera, but I have found in my experiences, and I am doing this with my little nephew right now, and I understand what a pain it is not to be able to get, you know, your hands down on a bigger stone. Sandbags are magic to me, Melody, and I'll tell you why. I still use them, and I use them big time. They are a great way to build strength for stones, and I'm probably not telling you anything on this, but the way we do it, whether we put them in a bag, we got Ken Nowicki's a good friend of the show. He's on here. He has a company called Cerebus. He's the U.S. distributor. I believe they're based out of Scotland where he's from. Their bags are incredible, and the way we wrap the sand in the garbage bags, and we put it in burlap and insert them into there, it does simulate a stone in a lot of ways. That would be one thing I would say to you, because it may ready you and help you to move into the next level of stone. Also, too, I don't know if you're making molds. Obviously, you know, Steve Slater and I just did a big show, part one, on doing molds. But I know from experience using molds, you can use the circumference that you can get your hands around now. And once again, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything new, but this is all experiences of mine that have worked out very well. You can basically take a loading pin and put it in the center of that mold, obviously, just before you're getting ready to pour, and you insert, depending on the size of it, you know, we use usually the 1-inch one, and load plates on it. If you do that, fill that thing up, obviously, let it set for a few days. Voila, you just went, say, from 105 to 120, and you can go, it can only go so far, I believe, when you put something in the inside of it. I can't remember what Steve told me before, it could be where the stone could be dangerous, where it might come apart. I highly doubt it. I don't think you're throwing them across the room and stuff. So that's another way, too. And I am using, you know, we are looking right now for a manufacturer, and we might have one here a few hours away. I haven't talked to you in a while. We went to a smaller version of my original Hoosa steel stone, which is the shot-loaded circumference, the whole deal of the Icelandic Hoosa fell stone, and it has two loaders on the top where you can put shot in. And, of course, I came up with the idea of putting basically these long carriage bolts on each side of it at the top. And the reason for that was so we could load plates on it, because you and I both know when you're all agitated and training, the last thing you want to have to do is open a stone up and start funneling shot into it. So I solved that problem. What we did, it has the same circumference. The stone will hold roughly a little over 500, which most people aren't going to be walking too far at 500 pounds. But the beauty of it was I did it mainly for younger kids and women. I felt it was a way to really get you involved in stone training. And the original one I have out of the four of them, it's a little big for somebody to start with, especially, you know, you're 105 pounds. I know you're strong as hell, but it might be a detriment to you initially. This stone solves all of those problems. So I know that was long, but that's what I would do. If you have molds and you want to stay with the Atlas, fine. If you want to start increasing it with sandbags within the main bag itself, a super way to do that, and we really go berserk. And I started training Dennis last week on the steel stones. I was going to wait another month or two, but I feel, and I know from experience, what this can do metabolically to you and still keep you mighty strong. And he responded fairly well, considering he's not had a lot of endurance, and we've got him down from 271 to 259, so now we go full throttle. And there's going to be much more added to it, but we're filming everything and letting it out. So comment on anything there, whatever you think.
No, you know, the issue I have with using a smaller stone is because if I go into competition,
yeah,
that's not what I use.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I need to get used to using a bigger one. You know, there is a product on the market that I've seen. I don't know much about it, and I haven't put it on my list of things to buy yet because it's still kind of, I don't know, but
yeah,
there is a loadable stone on
yes.
the market. Have you seen that thing?
I haven't seen that, but, you know, I know that one from Elite we use in the winter when we can't get anything off the ground because it's frozen. You know that big loading pin they got, and you put,
yeah
that, but no, I've never seen that. I know a lot of guys now are building the Hoosa steels with the centers, and they load plates in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to try one before I'd say I'd be a big fan of that.
Yeah, I just feel like anything other than a stone
yeah.
is not going to act like a stone.
Exactly.
So, you know, I just have to figure out how to make a bigger stone work for my capabilities, you know, so it's just going to be a matter of leverage somehow.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that's very helpful I have here. Obviously, you got big, strong pulling blocks. I know initially you got to get this thing up on there. Mm-hmm. But what we like to do, especially when we're readying ourselves to, you know, clean these things off the ground, we will start them initially, you know, especially, you know, like yourself. I mean, I'm putting a lot of hammer on my lower back all the time. So what I do is I'll take the stone, pick it up, and put it on a platform of some sort, whether we lift it for partials in the garage gym or outside where I suspend it from chains. Now, I'm strictly talking the Hoosa steel. But I've done that with Atlas stones and everything. Why I do that, it builds a hell of a lot of power. Now, when you can start snatching, say you start pulling it from just below your knees, and you can wrap your arms around that thing and start picking that thing up, and maybe you want to walk it or put it back, you're going to at some point get strong enough where as you lower this thing down, you are eventually going to get it off the ground. So I start things a lot of times at a much higher rate and bring it down. It's similar. Well, yeah, and it's similar, just like equate power rack training. You know, everything I do is dead stop. If I want to use a massive weight, obviously I'll start it at the top and gradually come down with it, slide a board in, might be a quarter inch, then an eighth inch, and before you know it, you got 2 inches down in the next hole, and it's obviously tedious to a lot of people, and you need a lot of discipline, but let me tell you, I do the same thing with stones that I do with a barbell in there. You just have to keep bringing it down, and you and I both know, hey, 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, something that was never even thought you could do, suddenly, guess what, you're jacking it right off the ground. Or you got that lifted parallel finally, and you know that 500, 600 pound dead stop squat that you couldn't even envision moving, now you're ripping it right out of the rack like that. So I approach everything with that style of lifting now. It's not for everyone. It's pretty hard on you. But let me tell you, I have never not succeeded doing things like that. And yeah. I only do that with certain people here because, let's face it, not everybody's set up for that. The thing I find more than anything, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit today, you know, it is very hard on you mentally. It is brutal to you, but Nadia, and I don't look at it as a negative. On the flip side, my God, you'll have confidence like you would not believe. And you and I both know, competition wise, that's the thing. We, you know, other than poor preparation, it's usually somebody's confidence that's not there or it breaks, and then you just can't do it. And I hate that word can't, but you're finished for the day. So I think all those things work. But yes, I mean, my opinion is this right now, because I've done so much of it with people in the last year here. If I knew what I knew when I started, and you know, we all say that a lot of times, but you know, I'm glad I didn't, because I wouldn't have done all this experimenting and learning. But I know enough now where there is nobody I would even hesitate, unless they've had injuries and they can't do it, I would never hesitate to start them initially on sandbags, and if they liked it enough, they would start graduating the stones and do both. Now, my little nephew, Danny, is 6 years old, and he's got very good gene pool on both sides. And, you know, he comes over here with his dad and my sister and all that, and you know, we're always out in the back fooling around doing something. And when he and his little sister Maggie, who's a heck of an athlete at 9, they come over, they love lifting things over here. And I always say to them, you know, I got to go out in the back and count some plates. Anybody want to go? They're out the door before I am, literally, all right? So I've got a 15-inch tire, bricks. We've got the cement blocks where they do step-ups. They do farmer's walks with bricks. They flip the 15-inch tire. And for grip work, I have them gripping the end of my picnic table and flip the hand over and under. And they love it. Well, yeah. Now when I go over to my sister's, this has been going on for the last couple months, Danny's always going, look at the weights I've got. and he'll have like a set of 2.5s, 5s, and 10s. They're my sisters. And I said, okay. And he's like, watch. And he'll lift them. I said, okay, well, let's learn something today. I never push it on him either, him or Maggie. And they're like fish to water. So we're there at Christmas, and you hear all this noise from the cellar, and he's coming. I didn't know it was him. And you hear like, dush, dush. Well, he comes into the kitchen, which is right off the cellar, and doesn't he have over half a bag of rock salt? And I'm like, holy. He goes, look how strong I am. I said, yeah. So he's dragging this thing at the top, not folded over anything. And I was like, okay, now I got my little stone lifter here. So it'll be 2 weeks ago, I went out and got 20 pounds of sand, broke one up in an 8-pounder, one in 12, you know, threw it in a garbage bag, duct taped it perfectly tight, folded over, put it in burlap, did the same thing, wrote a nice note to him on it, and did the 12 the same way. You know, you'd laugh. It is so funny. And, you know, you see him. I taught him how to straddle the thing. You ought to see this kid lift this stuff, Melody. And the thing is, I'm not going to force him into it. My sister said he loved it. You know, because I told him, unless one of your bigger sisters come downstairs with it, it's got to be your mom or dad. I do not want you doing any of that stuff alone, okay? Yep. He asks them all the time. My sister said he's in love with the stuff, and no one's pushing him. And see, that's what I mean. I think that this stuff is so beneficial. And my whole thing now, more than anything, you know, obviously, we've got listeners now up to 80 years old that I've heard from. You know, we got to get – I want everybody to be able to do stuff like this, but especially young kids. Now, next week you might not ever touch him again. But I also say to him every time I see him, Danny, when you're 13 years old, you're going to deadlift 500 pounds. Who knows what's going to happen? He's got the ability on both sides of the coin with both families to become a great athlete. My brother-in-law was a semi-pro football player. It's all there. So comment on any of that stuff. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think it's great that, when, you know, I think that when you start kids off, start them off with this. I didn't grow up athletic at all.
Right.
And I think that's really to my detriment because I had to learn all this stuff, you know, when I was an adult.
Yeah.
In as much as I am an adult.
who wants to be?
But the best powerlifters I know are the people who started when they were kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
I took dance classes. That's about as athletic as I got when I was a kid. And I was on the bench in soccer class. I didn't get to do much other than that. So I think starting kids off with this stuff is great because it'll give them a passion for moving. We're not taught that anymore.
Exactly.
You know, they're kind of making phys ed less about movement, more about sports when they do phys ed at all. So I think it's good that you're doing that. You know, teach them how to do it. I've trained a fair amount of children, 12-year-olds who can't squat. They can't bend their knees because it hurts.
Oh,
that's sad. God. They're 12.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I have another client who's a kid who just does not know how to straighten his spine out. He's just so hunched over. You know, we're just not taught how to be aware of where our bodies are in space. And so everybody's got this computer back and it makes me sad. So it's awesome that you're doing that, you know?
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
They have to move, you know?
Well, not only that, you know what it is too. And you know, as a trainer, of course, you know, people saying, well, you're partial because he's your nephew. Dead wrong. I'd call him to the carpet anytime. I don't have to be mean to him to call, you know. But I got to tell you, out of all the uncles and aunts and all that, if there's something going on over at my sister's and they have a huge backyard and a beautiful deck and everybody could be over there, and it makes me – I'm very honored by this. Because I'll tell you, and more people know now, however my oldest nephew interpreted Eric, it came out to H. They've called me, this my sister, my brother, everybody calls me Uncle H, the kids do. And I'm not kidding you, I won't even be through the back gate and they're on me right away to come play. It could be anything from setting up obstacle courses with small stones, kickball, wiffle ball, you name it. And you know, a lot of the adults, quote-unquote, because as you said, the same thing I believe, If I got to be an adult, I'll be that way. Otherwise, I could give a rat's you know what about it. And I'm very honored that they think that much of me, that they like to play sports with me and learn from me, and I learn from them. And you know, you get the typical stuff. Oh, why don't you come up, have a drink, blah 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 blah. And yeah, that's okay, but you know what? This has been my philosophy, and I think I get it from my grandmother, who almost lived to 109, was, you know, you only have so long of an opportunity with your little, whether your children, your nieces and nephews, and I'm watching the older girls now. They are growing so fast in the young women now, it makes my head spin, and I'm like, I want to get everything I can out of these relationships when they're young, because I want to have even better ones when they get older. And when they think about things like this, because I think of my grandmother a lot. You know, my grandmother was in her 50s, obviously, when we were little kids, going into her 60s. My grandmother was somebody that always took the time for the kids. It didn't matter. Even when she'd come down to visit from Plattsburgh, she'd make breakfast for all my friends. I mean, you know, all that stuff. My grandmother to me was a big influence with things like that, with children. I never forgot how she never, like, you know, like a lot of adults, hey, how you doing? And it's like, eh, get out of here. You know, it was never that way. I mean, she used to listen to Ozzy Osbourne with me. I mean, tell me that isn't a cool grandmother. So those things I learned from her, and I think, well, I think my nature's that way, but I never wanted to, like, brush a kid aside. I see that happen. I don't think anybody's doing it intentionally, but it almost be like, hey, kid, here's $20. Now get lost. You know what I mean? And I enjoy them too much. And I love the relationships I've built with all of them. And I want something like that for the rest of my life with them. So I think it's just very important. And, you know, we're talking youth and everything with, you know, I mean, that's pretty sad when a 12-year-old comes to you and they can't even bend down. I mean, at that point, that's a pretty scary thing. And I think it's good that you do it, I do it, and a lot of other people where, you know, if we don't get them now, you know, look how many 25-year-olds can't do anything. You know, they're basically, all they're on are video games or the texting or the laptop or whatever you want to use. They're not involved in life, in situation. They don't know how to speak to people. Those are serious things. I don't care how evil, how, you know, how, what do I want to use, evolved, supposedly, quote-unquote, we're getting with all this stuff. I think on the other flip side, and I'm not saying everybody, but I really do think we are losing the ability to communicate with one another. I think it's very important. My father used to say it all the time. Be able to look somebody in the eye, you know, shake their hand firmly. When you go somewhere and maybe you talk business in a restaurant, you know, little things we used to laugh at when my mother and father, be honest, all the time. Know how to sit, know how to put a napkin on, know how to hold your fork. Things I used to laugh at, but now I'll tell you, Melody, I've been out social and on business in the last year with people, and I look at them, and my mother and father were correct. So go ahead, take it.
I don't really know what to add to that. That was pretty detailed.
but you know what I mean? It's like there are standards we all live by, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know. I know from business, if you're going to be wishy-washy with people, not return calls, not know how to handle yourself in a dignified way, my opinion is you're not going to be around long. That's all I'm saying.
Totally.
I mean, you know, if you say to me, we need to speak at such and such time, and I don't even get back to you and tell you I can't do it, or I just blow you off, I'm sure you're not going to bother with me anymore. Or maybe give me one more shot, but chances are you're not going to have a lot of confidence in what I'm going to bring. So I think it's really important. Let's define strength to you. This is real interesting. And I don't know if I ever – I don't think I asked you this when the first time you came on. And this is another question too. I ask everybody this because I like to see where their influences came from. Number one, we'll talk about how you define strength. But if you would, before we go into that, what were your influences as a young girl? I mean, there had, you know, obviously our parents, people used comic books, which was me. It was mainly, you know, my brother Jimmy, who had muscular dystrophy and the Incredible Hulk. Obviously, you know, like you said, you didn't do a lot of sports, but what got you interested? Who, what, or whatever got you motivated to do what you do now?
Well, got me interested in it because I, you know, when I was growing up, it would never have even occurred to me to do anything like this.
Yeah.
It's not what I was brought up to do. And, it, you know, in my family, you read books. That's what you do.
Yep.
And you go to Harvard, and then you get married, and then you have children, and you have a job that makes a lot of money, and that is what you do.
Yep.
You know, and I didn't go that route with any of those things.
That's all right.
But you know, what did it was, you know, I graduated college. I didn't go to Harvard. I went to University of Wisconsin. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But when I graduated college, you know, I wanted to be a musician.
Okay.
And that's what I wanted to be. And I didn't figure I was going to make any money at it.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I started working as an advertising executive.
Okay.
And working as an advertising executive straight out of college in New York at the time paid $20,000 a year.
Jeez.
And you can't buy dinner for that in New York City.
Yeah, exactly.
So I, my brother Brad, who you probably have heard of,
yep.
He had opened a personal training center called PTC for Women.
Yep.
And he brought me on as a trainer. And so what he did was he would write the programs,
mm-hmm.
and he taught me how to do all the exercises, and then I would just basically parrot what he taught me to his clients.
Okay.
And I am not someone who teaches without doing.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I'm going to talk the talk, I need to walk the walk. And that's that. So yeah. That's really the only reason I started training. You know, I kind of played around with it in college. You know, there was a weight room and I played around with it. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yep.
You know, I took a weight training class in college.
That's wow.
Yep. The only thing I got a C in college was a weight training class.
Ah, man. And now look what you've done. Yeah.
So that's what I did. But that's how I got started, was at my brother's gym, and I just kind of learned the basic machine cable stuff.
Yep.
And you know, and then I got, you know, I got my certification. And when you got your certification, I got AFA at the time, which is more of a group training thing, but they had a personal training cert as well.
Yeah.
And I just got it to have something. And that it was the same basic stuff. It was like the machines and the basic, you know, little pink dumbbell curls and that kind of thing. So that's kind of what I did. And I kind of followed my brother around the gym and watched what he was doing and tried to do that too. And I took a boxing class. There was a boxing class at the gym. So I just jumped in, and the guy who taught it was a pro.
Okay.
And he came up to me after class and he's like, "You need to train for Golden Gloves."
Wow.
And I was like, "What?" Like, that didn't even, like, what? I was just taking a boxing class at the gym.
Yeah.
Well, he had me come to his little gym and start training with him for Golden Gloves. And during that time, I discovered that I don't like hitting people. And more than that, I really don't like it when they hit me.
Yeah.
So I stopped doing that, but I realized I had, you know, some sort of a talent for athletics, which mm-hmm. I never thought I did before, because growing up, I was the last one picked for everything. Like, everything.
Yep.
You know, nobody wanted me on their team. I got bullied. You know, it was just like, I was ridiculous.
Yep.
So that was kind of cool. So I was like, all right. And that kind of gave me some confidence. Then I was like, okay, well, maybe I've got something here. And so then I started learning about other things, and I became a computer consultant. And as I was a computer consultant, that's kind of the fattest industry in the world, really.
Yeah.
And my coworkers, I was really the only one going to the gym. And my coworkers were approaching me, asking me advice, you know, asking me advice how to lose weight, asking me advice what to do at the gym, that kind of thing. One of them started going to the gym with me, and I would kind of train her. So I kind of always did it. And then September 11th happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when September 11th happened, I had to really – it made me really rethink my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I want to be doing and who do I want to be doing with? And at the time, I was with a guy who lived in Los Angeles. And I was and it just so happened that the job that I was at, the computer consulting job, laid off like 80% of its employees.
Laid off just everybody.
So they laid off my whole project team. And I was like, great, this, you know, what I want to be doing is I want to be training people, because that's the only time I ever felt like I really made a difference in somebody's life. So I went and moved to Los Angeles to be with that guy. I'm not with him anymore, but I'm still here. And I went and started working at big box gyms. And then I started really learning more and more. And I got into what I'm into now only because I happened to meet along the way some performing strongmen.
Right.
And they were like, here, bend this, you know, like
that
kind of thing. And I really liked it. I really took to it. And that's, you know, that's just kind of been my passion ever since. I got really into kettlebells for a while because I met a guy named, well, I went to a Learning Annex class. You know the Learning Annex?
Sure. Yep.
I went to a Learning Annex class on flexibility, and it happened to be taught at the time by a guy I'd never heard of named Pavel Tsatsouline.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the guy who, you know, kind of started the whole kettlebell movement.
Absolutely.
And I'd never heard of him before, and I don't think that this was kind of before he got famous.
Yep.
But he had an assistant, and his assistant was a guy named Mike Mahler.
Okay. Yep.
And Mike Mahler was the biggest, strongest vegan I had ever met. And I've been vegan since 2001.
Okay.
So here is this big, strong vegan. And I'm like, I don't care about what Pavel's doing. I just want to know what that guy's doing.
Yeah.
And so I went and kind of followed his career. And I went and took a 6-hour kettlebell class with him and immediately signed up for the RKC certification. And so that's really into kettlebells there. And the RKC, Pavel is really into powerlifting.
Mm-hmm.
So I started learning about barbells through him. And so that's how I got, you know, really into barbell work. And then my strongman friend was like, why aren't you competing? You're really good at that. And it never occurred to me that I was good enough to compete. I was like, I'm going to wait till I pull triple body weight before I'm going to compete.
Awesome.
But I didn't do that. I just started competing. And now I don't know if I do anymore. I haven't checked. But at the time, I had American records in all three lifts.
Yeah, I remember you saying that when we talked a few times back. That's awesome. And, you know, it just goes to show, you know, mine was a little different than yours, but the whole IT thing, all the IBM mainframe stuff. And after we had worked, the last place was for a state agency, which was all with the criminal court. So it was a massive, they ran two mainframes. But you could kind of smell something was happening because they had one guy there that was not very good, but I think he had him pretty snowed. But they always had to bring in some type of consultants to help out. And we pretty much did all the work, had to get all the third-party stuff in, and obviously the operating system for, they call it ZOS. And we got done pretty much, it was like the early part of the week, and then we've got something from like their personnel, whatever they call it there, it's a different name. We have to have a meeting on Friday. I knew right then and there we were going to get severed. There was no doubt about it, because they're going to be all right for a while, and the way these systems were designed, they didn't need to be gone in. They could probably get away every 2 years instead of every, you know, 10 to 12 months. And it was right to what I thought, you know, well, we want to thank you, the whole deal, goodbye. And I, at that point, like you, I had been doing this stuff for a long time, and I just love doing it. And I love talking to people, and a lot of this stuff happened by accident with the show. And, you know, it was just going out listening and following different things and reading, like, you know, I think, when I built the whole podcast show, I got to believe I probably listened and watched 1,000 hours of YouTube, mainly because a lot of the video how to build stuff like this was, you know, you get up to maybe two or three of them you couldn't find anymore. So every time you were like trying to figure out this, that, and the other thing, told by a lot of people that podcasts was a waste of time. Ha ha. Thank God I didn't listen to them, huh? Because we've been up over we're going on almost 2.5 years now, and the majority of shows last 30 days. So I totally can go with you on everything you said, even though it's a little different, that and I'm not going to speak for you, obviously, I'll get right to you. When you have passion burning in you like that, and when you love to get up in the morning and say, you know what, this isn't a job. I mean, obviously, we all go through the beginning. It can be very tough, you know, monetarily. You're trying to build this place to whatever your dream is. It can be very trying. You know, we have lots of problems day in and day out. But there's something within all of us that we have this not only love, but this persistence, this tenacity, and this ability, no matter how hard you get beaten down, you come back up every time. And I'll go right to you, Melody. I want to just tell you one thing that's happened to me. So many things have gone wrong, but so many, and I don't know even if I want to define it as wrong anymore. I don't know. Learning experience, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to tag it. But what's happened now, I've changed so much in so many ways, and I think, I don't like using that word maturity, because I don't know if it is maturity. Maybe it's business maturity, I don't know. Once again, I don't know how to tag it. But there's so many things now that don't even bother me anymore, that I know it bothers other people. I'm just like, eh, you know, like that. It's almost I welcome something to try me again and again and again. It's like I've got such discipline for this stuff and devotion to it that I know I'm going to make it no matter what. And whatever happens, happens. You know, I don't get shook real easy at all now. And I always know, you know, I never judge one day as the rest of my life for anything now. So I think that we get put in situations sometimes we don't understand, but it all starts fanning out as we go along with whatever it is our passion is. Comment on any of that, if you would, please.
I mean, you kind of completed it. I don't really know what to add to that.
Well, Any, I mean, you know, well, in your situation, I mean, obviously, you know, think about it. Could you ever think 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that you would have your own company building equipment, your own fitness studio, all right?
You know, and it's funny because somebody asked me that. I was part of a business panel a couple weeks ago, and that was one of the questions that had been posed was, you know, what is your, like, how did you plan to do? I didn't plan to do any of this.
Exactly.
It was stuff that I wanted, you know. I had it in my head, but I don't have a 10-year plan or a 5-year plan. I don't know what I'm having for lunch tomorrow. You know, I kind of have things I do, and if I want to do something, I find a way to get it done. And that's basically all it is.
Yeah.
And while I'm all for, you know, I am a big believer in goal setting and things like that. When it comes to, yeah, I didn't know I was going to have my own business, but I knew that that was probably where I was headed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
So that's not a thing.
I think, not to interrupt, I this is what I think, and I think you nailed it. You had a basic idea. Now you had the experience, but I think in life with everything, how do we know where you're going to be? I mean, you've laid the ground floor, but you don't, you know, you know where you're going somewhat, but life is funny the way it can take you here, there, and everywhere. And things that don't make sense to us today or things that we think about end up down the road working out. And I try to tell people that if you want to be an entrepreneur, you're going to have more patience than you can ever imagine. Now, I'm not saying lay down or lay back for anything. That's not my point. But sometimes you have to step back and just watch and listen to what's going on around you or what you're doing. If you can do that, you're going to survive. But if you're constantly going to be smashing your head against the wall or blaming people because things didn't work out, and I understand the whole thing. I've been burned by people with websites and stuff that were highly recommended. You don't think that bothers? You bet your ass it bothers me, especially when you are living on a shoestring and every penny counts. But, you know, but here's the big but, you will survive it. Some way you will figure it out. Some way you will get the money. Some way you will persevere. If you can, you know, if you, I want to go right back to you. But, I mean, you've been through enough stuff. I mean, what do you think, if you had to name a few attributes and say it about yourself or what you think as an entrepreneur or just as a human being, What are the attributes we need, you think, to survive the storm when we're in business? Or it can be anything, relationships, you're in music, you know, bands break up, you have arguments, you can't write together anymore, all that. What do you see in yourself that you think you bring that we should all, you know, that we all need to get ahead?
Well, you know, entrepreneurship is definitely not for everybody. It is kind of a, it's not a guaranteed income. You
right.
know, it's that's the thing. It's not stable. It's not a guaranteed income. It's not any of those things. I mean, some people have it down like clockwork. Some people have it down to a science, and
yep.
they're, you know, they've got a steady income. The way that I run my business, I, you know, it's just me. So I don't, you know, I don't make the same from one week to the next. It just depends
right.
on who
right.
comes in. But for me, the I can't not be an entrepreneur. I'm too much of a control freak.
Yep.
Seriously, I don't mind working for other people, particularly when I feel like they know way more about this than I do.
Yep.
And there are a lot of people in exercise, in fitness and strength who know way more than I do. I mean, geez, I don't believe that I ever know anything, really. I mean,
yeah.
But that being said, when it comes to running my business, I don't want to deal with anybody else.
Right.
And I rented space out of other people's areas for a while. So I was running a business that way, which is one way that you can do it.
Yep.
And it's definitely cheaper than having your own space.
Yep.
And the guy that I was renting space from for 8 years made the environment so toxic to me.
Yeah.
I could not stay there. And
yep.
so even though I was not financially where I wanted to be to make that next jump, I did it. You know,
I feel
like I had a choice.
Yep.
And it was the best decision I ever made. And yeah, if you know, every month it is a financial struggle to make sure, because I have two rents to pay every month now. So I have to pay my house and I have to pay
right.
my studio every
right.
single month. And it is a struggle every month. But I get it done. It happens, you know, and it's the best decision I ever made. I'm happy. I'm super happy. My clients are much happier.
Yeah.
And it worked out perfectly. And, you know, plus for me, I wanted to have a space that I could make my own.
I agree.
So I designed all the equipment. I, you know, we built it ourselves.
Nice.
Within the Evil Monkey Company, we built
yep.
my rig and everything. So everything there is my design, and it's exactly how I wanted it. And I get people who come in sometimes and like, hey, can I rent space from you? And my space is 750 square feet. So
okay.
no, I can't because I don't have room for
yep.
a second person. But I did that on purpose.
Yeah, I got you. And that's smart because – look, you invest a lot of time and a lot of energy into things, and you don't need people like drawing energy out of you and being vampires. And I have found one thing real interesting, you know, with the show, and we've had so many different types of guests on here, you know, every genre pretty much you can think of. And Clint Darden made a very astute comment to me one day that I never thought of. And it went like this. Eric, you're getting to the point now where you're going to have lots of new people wanting to come on here, and you're going to have lots of people dropping off. And I kind of like stopped for a second, and I said, what do you mean? He said, people are going to either drop off naturally from you, or you're just not going to probably have them on anymore. And I'm like, really? And he's like, it's the evolution, how things work. It's nothing intentional. There might be some people that you don't want any on anymore because they don't really go well with how you do your show. But he says it's going to happen. You know, Melody, it kind of reminds me, it's different, but it reminds me of what you're talking about with a gym. Regardless whether they're clients, you know, whether they don't work for you or doesn't work for them, obviously, but also too, you know, you constructed an area where you knew from your last experience where it was toxic. You know, you had no choice. You had to drop off. It was either that or you're going to be very unhappy all the time. And, you know, people can tell your outward signs. They can read you no matter what, whether you say it or not. And you get in a place now where it's all yours. You know, you design, you run the packages, and you get the results both ways. So, that was just something that I had never thought of like that, you know. And I got to tell you something, his crystal ball's been working. Mm-hmm. I also think too. I'll ask you this because this is big, anyways. It might be an Italian thing too, but I have a feeling a lot of lifters are like this, the true ones. I am a stickler for loyalty. I know a lot of these words now, a lot of people think are just basically BS in today's world, because I've heard it a number of times. It's probably the way I grew up, you know. That was just the norm of my family. I'm a guy, if I befriend you, I will be your best friend ever, and I will be your most loyal friend. I believe that with people you do any associations with. I'm talking if we're getting into the thick of things where we're doing shows every month, or, you know, maybe we're advertising, or you're building something for me or whatever. I just don't think that you can do good business without loyalty to one another. What's your feeling on that?
No, I totally, absolutely. Loyalty is huge.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah, for sure. And I think that applies to relationships of all kinds.
Business, I agree. Actually. I agree. I you know what I think that, and I think that's lacking in a lot of things, because especially relationships, I find, my own included. I think that, I don't know, sometimes I get very perplexed about things with people. Loyalty's a thing that, I don't know if everybody understands what it truly is. And, I know a lot of people that have been in very unhappy situations, and, you know, it's blame this, blame that. But I always say to people, I remember when we were kids, man, my mother always would say to us, you know something? It might not be their fault. It might be both of yous, or maybe it's one of yous. But she used to always say, it takes two to tango. And there's an awful lot of truth to that. And I find, see, I go out anywhere. You know, I don't do a talk show here because I just want to do a talk show with everybody. I like going out anywhere and meeting people. I mean, you could ask my mom. It's hilarious. The family could all be somewhere, right? And I'll be talking to multiple people. And my mom's like that, too. She seems to know everybody. And she'll say to me, do you know those people? And I was like, never met them in my life. She goes, I thought they were like your best friends, you know? I just think you got to be, I think you got to be a little bit out there at times the way you are. Obviously, you know, we talked about confidence, not being bashful. But I think any relationship, especially if you're going to get romantically with somebody, you damn well better be loyal to one another and straight up. Because if you're not, you're garbage to me. I don't want nothing to do with you. Goodbye. So, yes, I think loyalty is one of the most important things with any individual if you're going to enter into anything, you know, very serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the main thing. I know we're getting near time. What do you think? I mean, you know, obviously with everything you've accomplished, where you are, you know, you want to do competitions, obviously. Where do you see right now? Because, you know, we're constantly inundated. You know, if you're out on Facebook, obviously, anybody with a business, you know, we've got stuff coming at us 24/7 now. Let's just say a year from now, do you see any big changes in the strength field? Do you see it going back more to, this is another word I think that's very overused, but do you see a lot of it going back in what you're doing to more of a primal way, maybe getting away from all the gadgetry, or is just the gadgets a quick fix, quick buck for the people that are making it and selling it? What do you see, like, you're around a lot of it, a lot of people. Where do you see things going, say, even in the next year or two?
It's always been a combination of those things. As long as I've been in the industry, it's always been, there's one very large component of the community that's all about the next thing, the next shiny thing that they can stand on one leg on. Yep. And then there's the other part of the community, which is a smaller part, but I think getting bigger, that's more into the way things used to be done. And then there's this kind of third that's, I think it's more of a recent thing, but that primal, you know, it came around with the paleo diet. It's like, let's be cavemen kind of aspect of it. I don't think, honestly, most of that stuff is going anywhere, although I see the caveman diet, you know, primal thing maybe shrinking.
Yeah.
It's not as trendy as it was, but it's still very widely followed. So, you know, I see that shrinking, but I don't see it going away. The other two, I don't see them changing. They've been like that as long as I can remember. I think the old time, you know, the older stuff is a bigger portion of the fitness community than it was when I started. Mm-hmm. But and I see that probably increasing as well, but I don't see the other part changing at all. It's always been like that.
No, I agree with you. And you know something, I think there's a big market for the more of the older style. You know, we talked about the sandbags, the stones, things of that nature. The thing is, no, you know, publicly it's never been out there. And you know, you only see a limited amount of demonstration. But I'll tell you what, you know, being a guy that trains outdoors in the Northeast, I mean, we just had a big snowstorm yesterday and is not shy about any weather out there. Now, I know people have said this to me, well, not everybody wants to do it. Well, not everybody wants to go and run on a treadmill for a week watching TV either. I could no more exist in there than, you know, that would never happen. But, when I tell people not only the benefits of doing things like that and being outdoors, you know, you dress appropriately and you learn to do things like that. You mentally challenge yourself. And we said this in the beginning, you build your confidence. I mean, think about it. Go lift some sandbags. What does that cost you? Sand, some liners, and bags. It's going to sure as hell beat a huge gym fee. Now, if they go to a place like yours and you're teaching stuff like that and that's the environment that works for them, so be it. But I've been training outdoors, and I train in my one-car garage. I mean, it's loaded in there. I mean, I've got 10,000 pounds of iron alone laying in there on the plate trees. I mean, this place is jacked. And that works for me. And it worked for me because I believed in it so much, and I really had no choice at the time because they threw us all out of the gym, and it was sold. There was nowhere to go at that point. And it happened a lot, you know, once again, we said this a little while ago, how do things, you know, suddenly transpire, you don't understand, and where do they all lead to? Well, you know, when I started that garage, I had a York power rack, a York Olympic bar, and 1,000 pounds of weight. And if you've seen it now, it would blow your mind what's there, and outside too. But it was a number of years of thinking and growing and seeing things and maybe building equipment out of necessity for safety, et cetera, et cetera. But let me tell you, if I had to say one thing besides my parents and my family that were definitely instrumental of where I am today, I probably owe as much to the gym, the weight room. Because, and I'll shift this right to you, you don't separate the gym from you. Granted, I'm not carrying a stone in my hands when I'm going out to meet somebody or talking to somebody or, you know, walking in a squat position with a barbell on my traps. But, and here's the but I think a lot of people fall short on, just because that stuff's sitting back in my yard or in my garage, it's still a part of me. And I think if you can realize those things, I think you could be much more successful in everything you do. Summarize anything you want, Melody. Give out all of your information, please. I'll give mine out. And if you'd hang on the line, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. So I have my personal training business, which was flawlessfitness.com. And I also have a blog, which is melodyschoenfeld.blogspot.com, but it is terribly neglected. So I need to get back to writing on there, but I wrote some stuff before. And then Evil Monkey, EvilMunkent.com. And then if you want to listen to some tunes, you can hear my new duet that I didn't write it, but my friend did with his band Three Ring. That's coming out on April the 17th on streaming. And then I'm also in MadonnaCaBand.com and MaidenTribute.com. So you can check all that out. Yay.
I love that Madonica. I think that name is that is awesome. Hey, you know what I wanted to ask you? I don't remember her name, and I can't think of it. Who is the girl? And I don't know. I don't know if it's in the tribute of Iron Maiden. She's the bass player. Sometimes, and I could. I hope it's the right one because she's got long hair like you. And sometimes, Melanie. What's her name?
Melanie.
Okay, because sometimes I got to look twice to make sure that's not you.
Everybody thinks it's me.
Yeah, exactly. And
people are constantly coming up to me going, where's your bass?
I think that's great, man. And I mean, that is – now, is she in the tribute band?
Yeah, she actually started the Iron Maidens, if you've heard of them.
Okay, all right.
She was the original founders of that band. But, yeah, she's our bassist.
Awesome, man. I think that's awesome. You got Anthony? You got Anthony? Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I said we have a female Eddie, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I think it's great, man. I don't know. I you know, metal is always going to be king to me, and, you know, you're a hell of a singer, and I love all that stuff, and it's just like what we do with training and everything. Metal goes perfect with what I do when I'm out in the gym or the yard. I just always thought it was such a I love the aggression of it, number one, but it always reminded me of like freedom and the ability to do things when it's got you down. Metal to me always served that sword like that. And the players, even though, you know, people say, this stuff's too loud or I can't understand what they say, you listen to some of the people who play instruments in metal, they are by far some of the best musicians out there. Yeah, I mean, other than someone playing, you know, type of classical music, you listen to some of this stuff, and it's absolutely breathtaking. And it's just, you know, it's like everything. My mission here is to bring... I don't like the word mainstream, but I don't care what they call it. I want to take everything we do, and I want to get it mainstream. So when that six-year-old, like my nephew, says he hears it or someone tells him about it or tells their parents about it and it just intrigues them enough to turn it on, that's what we want to capture. We want to get these kids where they're not 12-year-olds and they can't even bend their knees or bend down. That is something that we got to get after. And hopefully they're not turning all diabetic and everything else because, geez, man, what a terrible thing for a kid to have to deal with at that young of age. So that's one of the things. Do we got everything else?
That's it, man.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Also, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in our free 30-day ebook. Just give us your name and away you go. One to make you think and one for you to take action, which is imperative. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, go out and look at what we've done with Melody. We're going to have her on. I'd like to have her on regularly if it fits into her schedule. Get her back in the family, in the fold, and just keep rolling from there because, as you know, very established and very good person, obviously, to work with. I leave a ton of stuff with you here. If there is a show you would like Melody and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of inspiration. As I've said multiple times, 5 words can change your life. As my mom says when we were kids and still says it to us, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to bend it, break it, lift it, pull it, press it, or if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. As Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem on some from the very beginning and who's been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Russell, we will say that for the next 28 years or longer, and I thank you for that compliment. Frank Klein, greatest college professor in business I've ever had. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My father constantly, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for many years and was like a father figure to me because I had lost my dad so long before I met up with John, and we lost John. It'll be 3 years this summer to cancer. And John is somebody I miss my Friday afternoons to go over and get adjusted and just talk to one another. He was one of the greatest men I've ever met. And he used to walk everybody to the door, no matter how busy he was. And he said two words, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself on any day and not smile. John would be very pleased that I'm carrying on his legacy. Those three men and my brother Jimmy, I think about so much every day. And I hope that they're following what I'm doing, because I would love to be able to sit down with each one of them one more time. It'd be, what an experience. That to me is like just very important. That's all I can say. So be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We will put our foot right through it. Join our revolution. Be part of our family. And before we sign off, I'll leave you with a couple things. As the great Les Brown says, you all have the potential to do big, big things. You all have greatness, as he says. We'll take it a little further. We stand behind you, and we believe in you. And I don't know many people in today's world that would guarantee you something like that. We want to see everyone succeed here, no matter what it is you want to do. And we are with you. Melody, thanks for coming on, and Happy New Year, and we will get you set up to come on again, please.
Oh, thank you so much. I'd love to.
Well, I would love to have you on. I like talking to you, and I think that you set a high bar here, and that's what we like. So, for Melody Schoenfeld, this is Eric Fiorello. As I said, we will get something set up when I get off the air with Melody. But go out and do something great. Have a great weekend, and remember this, as Les Brown says, you all have greatness. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you. Well, tomorrow, I got Rainer Wartell on tomorrow, and I got Eric Gutman, and we will have Melody show up Sunday morning. So thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.